Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is presented by David Lowen Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM. Live from the Edmore Sawgrass Chevrolet Studios, Morse has more. Visit EdmoreSawgrass.com. This is the Joe Rose Show on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM, 96.5 FM HD2, and online at WQAM.com.
When you say not doing things right, can you elaborate?
It's everybody, you know, and guys just have to do what their job is, and a lot of things will clean up. I mean, we're just going to – like last week, we played more guys this week. You know, we moved some things around that a lot of people probably didn't even recognize. But, you know, we'll find – I'll put the guys in there that I think are going to do the job I need them to do. And I don't specifically have to name names. And, you know, when we hit Sunday, we'll go through the week. If I feel like I got to put somebody else in or play somebody else more, then we'll do it.
You warn players, like say, hey – you know, don't panic, but don't think we could just flip a switch.
I mean, if you're panicking, then you're in the wrong profession. I mean, your job is to come out each week. It's a new week. Start over. You had 24 hours to, you know, bitch and complain about everything. Now it's time to go back to work. And really, everybody needs to look themselves in the mirror and realize, do your job, and things will go right.
But you tell them, like, don't rest on the fact that we were able to come out of it last year.
Yeah, nobody cares about last year. So, it's a new year.
She's a good girl, loves her mama, loves Jesus, in America too.
Well, it was a rough day yesterday for a lot of people and a lot of tragic news in this country. And not a great day for Adam Gase that he had to talk about that offense, which obviously not losing the life of somebody like Tom Petty, who passed away with a heart attack at age 66, or the Las Vegas tragedy as well. But, boy, I'll tell you what, that was a rough 24 hours, and there was a lot of bitching because that was some ugly football to travel that far and not score a point. That's really hard to do in the National Football League to start with. To get shut out doesn't happen a lot, and especially the way the game started on that first drive, and you thought, wow, this thing's rolling. Hey, this is pretty good. And then the interception, and that was pretty much it for the rest of the game, and that was the sad part. Ira Winderman's in with us this morning from the Sun Sentinel. Good morning, Ira. How you doing?
Doing better than the Dolphins, I would say, at this point. But you know what, Joe? The one thing I was wondering when I was driving in today was, and I was trying to remember this, October 11th last year, the big move by Adam Gase. Big moves by Adam Gase. Do you remember what those were?
I do.
Okay. Billy Turner and Dallas Thomas.
Three guards. And he got rid of a draft pick on the practice squad.
And that was the that was the salvo he fired. And my question is, we know from the press conference after the game on Sunday and then yesterday back here, it's not going to be a quarterback switch. We know that. I mean, you can't say on Sunday and Monday, I'm not doing that, and then on Saturday and Sunday, make that switch. What would this year's equivalent of the Thomas and the Turner moves be? In other words, what would be the shakeup moves where, hey, I'm going to get this locker room's attention by doing X and Y? Joe, if you had to do that, if he came to you and said, how can I shake these guys up without necessarily changing the core of this team, where do you think shake-up move would come before Sunday's game?
That's a great question, and we've all thought about that. And when you got 9 hours, you actually think about, you go through the whole, sure, like the whole roster there, and you're looking at everything, and got all the guys around, and you're kind of talking, because obviously the Jay Cutler and Matt Moore thing comes up first.
But that's too extreme. That's panic. No, no, that's panic.
Well, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. You bring a guy in and do it. But if it continues, at what point do you say, well, is Matt going to, or are we going to get this turned around? And do you give Matt a chance to come in and try to get a spark out of this group? But outside of that and going to more reality, what can you do? You can't really do anything on the offensive line. That's your best group of basically the six guys that you have. You got a rotation at left guard. So I tell you, it's been bad everywhere.
You've made your move with Maxwell already. You've made your move out of necessity with the linebackers already, obviously, coming back in. But
I don't think there's much you can do. I
mean, except for tight end. Which, again, I think look
I don't think Julius Thomas is very good.
No, but I'm saying that if you want to say one of your offseason moves was a bust.
Adam Gase thinks Julius Thomas is better than I do. How about that one?
Well, what was that? You could have run a cleaner route on that one.
Well, he got jammed. He got just absolutely knocked out of his route, yeah. So at that point, if Jay Cutler sees it, and because you still like the fact that you're tied in so much bigger than the corner, you got to just throw it at him. Throw it up high at him to the outside and line up for another down and go second and four.
Well, I mean, how do you throw a fade inside? I mean, isn't a fade just have to be a back shoulder? It's either out of bounds. It's either to the boundary. For everyone who's saying, why didn't they run a Jai in that situation? They've been running the ball well. Because that's a no-fault pass. Either it's going to go out of bounds, you're throwing it back shoulder, it's against the boundary, it's an uninterceptable pass unless you turn it back inside.
They apparently had worked on that where he was going to release outside and he was throwing it to the corner. Either way, I thought Cutler threw it too far inside. Made it way too easy to play.
It's a throwaway down either way, right? It's a throwaway down. If you're going to call a pass in that situation, you still can come back and run it a couple of times anyway.
Yeah. No, it's got to be either way. It's got to be thrown. But he literally got jammed so badly out of his route, he almost came to a stop. So I'm guessing Jay Cutler, just when he had his mind made up where he's going to throw, it's just it was two guys, two brand new players, not on the same page. Listen, I haven't seen anything out of Julius Thomas at all.
Oh, we said that through the whole preseason. But what other option do they have for receiving yardage?
I think Marquise Gray's better as a third tight end than Julius Thomas is the first tight end. That's how I feel to start with.
Or do you just play Fasano and play for the blocking?
If it was me, Marquise Gray and Anthony Fasano would be playing. But I understand they brought him in, they traded for him, and all the other stuff.
That's the move. I think that's the move if you're talking about some type of shake-up move. It's not as dramatic as quarterback, but you have to do something. And that's been the shame here for years, is just to get something out of that position. Especially in today's NFL when you have
tight end,
to. And
tight end has not been productive. We got something out of Charles Clay, and you see what he's doing for Buffalo now. But you're right. That position has not been very good. It's always overlooked in the draft because nobody wants to really take a high pick on a tight end. So you're right. That is one. But that would be first for me. I think privately everybody's going around watching this guy play and watching him since preseason and going, well, maybe when the season starts, he'll pick it up. And I just realize he's slow off the ball. He gets jammed. I haven't seen an extra gear when he gets going.
It's like with Maxwell. After 2 weeks, you knew you had to do something. I mean, let me ask you this, because you know the inside stuff better on this, and I know the NFL injury reports are linked to gambling, so they can't be BS. Do you think there was really an injury there for sure with Maxwell?
He got benched before.
Right. I'm saying, or is that just the convenient out? So if you bring him back, you can say he sat because of the injury also, and you cycle back in there. But that clearly was a decision. We're moving in another direction.
It could have been. But he was benched before the hamstring pull. Like, he was told, like, Max, you're out.
Right.
Pregame
injury.
You're getting picked on like you're a rookie. So if you're getting picked on, you're not playing well, you're not jamming the way you did last year. When he was successful a year ago, he was jamming on the football, and that takes all the speed. And if you get a good jam, all of a sudden it's a great neutralizer for any physical talent you may lack. Great speed, movement. If you get a good jam on big receivers like he did, like the game he had against Antonio Brown last year and Brandon Marshall, he just jammed him, so all they could do is catch some short stuff, and he's fine. But when he started getting soft, playing off a little, he wasn't playing tight like he was supposed to, He lost confidence up front, lost confidence playing off, and he can't run with those guys. And everybody sees it. And so they made the Tankersley move was actually one of the few bright spots.
Right.
That, like, wow, the kid's getting out there and getting after
it. I'm saying
it.
He made a bold stroke, he took a chance, and it paid off. When you look back on that trade because of what you got out of Alonzo, and the fact is that you wound up with the draft choice you would have probably wanted then anyway, do you have any second thoughts when you look back on the trade with the Eagles, or do you say, you know what, we got Alonzo out of it, we wound up with the guy falling to us anyway, we were fine? I mean, that even with Maxwell not paying off, are you still okay with that trade?
They were so desperate and had so many holes on the team. Which, by the way, the big question, before I answer that,
sure.
I think last year they had to do it because they were just trying to patch in and upgrade anything they can, and they felt his experience at corner, Kiko healthy, would be good moves, and so they had to do it because they had so many positions to feel they couldn't do it all through the draft. So they were trying all kinds of things to upgrade their team. Now, the problem may be when this is all said and done, you are really good at certain positions, and you're really bad at other positions or below average, and the below average takes away when the below average guys play below average, like you thought they would, or you hope they would play better, then it affects all the good players too. And that might be the problem. I watched Kansas City last night.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really have any weaknesses on that team. I'm not saying they got stars everywhere.
Well, they got a good tight end play, I'll tell you that.
They got a really good tight end they can go to. They got a couple of speed guys. They're really good on the line of scrimmage. They got a quarterback that plays that system, Alex Smith at age 33.
I mean, really, he threw some Cutler-like wounded ducks also. But they worked, and they paid off, and that's the difference.
They don't ask him to make throws he can't make, though.
Although he threw a bunch of long passes last night, which is kind of unusual and a little bit outside of their norm also.
Well, he reads everything. I don't think he's the most talented passer. I'm with you. But sitting there, his team's undefeated. The Chiefs beat
that's
the Redskins.
They're the only undefeated team now.
4-0. Alex has got 8 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. He looks like Brady and Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees and the rest of them. The way he's playing, he's one of the biggest surprises in football with the numbers that he's putting up. Speaking of numbers, I got to say this too. Like, I listen to Richard Sherman and I go, okay. And Richard Sherman brings up some stuff in today's new NFL and, you know, he and his teammates, he's so far off on this fantasy football and gambling. Like Richard, you're a smart guy. You've overcome a lot. You went to Stanford, but this getting on fantasy football, like Richard, you need to step back and look at the popularity of the sport. And two of the biggest reasons it's really popular, and they're both connected because it's gambling.
The two biggest reasons, but go ahead.
Fantasy football and gambling, whether you're just a hardcore and you got a bookie or you go to Vegas and gamble, or you're a fantasy football and you're putting $100 or $200 to get in a league or whatever it is here, 20 or 50, whatever the guys at QAM put in. Like, that's why people pay attention. So if they're not, like, as sensitive as you want them to be when somebody gets injured and a guy calls his buddy and goes, damn, I just lost Dalvin Cook. God, where do I go now? And instead of going, oh, poor Dalvin, I'm going to call and check on him and make sure he's okay. I mean, come on.
It's like you say all the time. It's the big boy pants league. You know what you're getting into. And it's like all this stuff. I would go back to the players every time and say this. Fine. Are you willing to take a 75% pay cut? Because don't kid yourself about what fuels the revenue in the sport these days. I mean, Joe, let's face it. God bless you and what you do on the radio and that people who do a full game. Everyone's watching Red Zone for one reason. I mean, everyone is watching it because it's the fantasy network.
Red Zone's the greatest thing ever.
You want to see what's going on. When you have action on multiple games, you want to know what's going on. That's where the sport is right now. No one sits through a whole game unless you're a diehard right now, and that's been the problem all along, as you know, attendance-wise. People want to see everything. Now they hand out these monitors of the game. You can monitor the stats. You get your real-time stuff. That's where the sport is right now. Has the NFL taken the football out of the game? To a degree, yes. Has the NFL found the most successful propositions? Without question. They knew, they recognized with their injury report, it is about gambling. They recognize now, remember the ticker on the bottom would just run constant scores? Now you can wait forever to see a score because you're getting all your fantasy update also.
That's right.
Why? Because that's what people want.
Everybody's got a fantasy football league team. There's a lot of guys.
Not just one.
No, I was going to say there's probably people. Are you in one?
I'm not, but I live vicariously through my son's team, and he does the one thing that drives me crazy. When you pick against your rooting interest team, and then you come up with those kind of days, well, I want the Dolphins to win, but I really need some receptions here, or I got the kicker on the other team, so I need a few field goals or something like that. The cross-rooting that takes place right now because of fantasy has just changed the entire dynamic.
Well, listen, you're not on a team. You don't have your own team, and I don't have my own team, but don't worry, because all the rest of the guys, Zach, and Hollywood and the rest of them all have lots of teams, so you don't have to worry. And the Big O's got like, what's Big O got, Hollywood? He's got like five or six. What's Tom Petty?
You don't think he shot it,
though? Yeah, what's he have?
He's got a bunch, but it's just weird listening to you two guys who don't have fantasy teams talk about fantasy football.
Because the overwhelming preponderance is
something. How do you not have a team, though, Ira? Like, you, I mean, you're in the media.
Yeah, take
you know
a shot at it. I like
guys.
That.
Like, I don't
That's
understand
good.
How you don't have a team.
Because I actually...
Are you too afraid to play or something?
No, I'm old school enough to actually enjoy the games. I'm sorry that I actually enjoy the sport, that the reason I got into this
You're
is,
the
20%
that
I'm
just going
to actually
watch?
Go and watch a game.
How many?
And you'll watch Cincinnati-Cleveland on Sunday. Like, you'll sit through that game.
But I don't have to because there's 12 other games. My problem is when the Sunday game, or especially the god-awful Thursday games, come on, and you realize you have no rooting interest because of that. But I can't tell you how many times you talk to people, and they forget there's a Thursday game anyway, and they wind up getting screwed because of that.
I always, it's funny. I want the NFL to come out. They got stats for everything. I'd love to hear the breakdown of when they look at their fan base, and they have people evaluate it and all this stuff, and people watching the NFL. I would love to know how many people are just fans of teams and don't gamble at all, don't look at point spreads, don't have a fantasy football team that just like their team or just like watching football or have favorite players to watch it. It would be a real interesting breakdown.
That's the tailgate crowd. That's the diehards. That's what we're going to see this weekend at Hard Rock. Those people, because for them, Sunday...
No, they got fantasy football.
But still,
too.
Sunday's the event of the game also. They also build their week around the event. That's the difference there.
The tailgating is part of the experience. But
I
there's
one
lot...
thing has anything to do with the other, though.
Yeah,
I going to the game has nothing to do with if you have friends and playing a fantasy league.
Yeah, I agree.
But it's a lot easier to follow at home, right?
No, of course it's easier to follow, but you can still go to the game and enjoy yourself and have a fantasy
team. By the way, they got everything now. If you go to Hard Rock, you can see all the numbers of everything. They understand what's going on, and they understand people want to get their information there as well. So they got it set up.
No, when you look at the trackers right now, they list the player stats, and the last column is FPTS, their fantasy points, actually listed on the stats during the game.
It's crazy. Crazy. Well, listen, we got to take a break. We got a lot of stuff to get to here this morning. We've got a big week, man. Florida State, Miami. Big game. Saturday, 3:30 in Tallahassee. And yes, we have the big press conference today. What will Bruce Sherman and Derek Jeter have to say to South Florida about their brand new baseball team now that one of the great thieves of all time has taken his money and left town and he didn't go to prison for stealing all that money that he just took? I wonder if he sent any to Dade County for that new ballpark that helped the value
of
that
team. I'm sure
he's
paying it back in full, isn't he?
Yeah, oh yeah. I'm sure he made sure of that. That was probably tops on the list.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
With anything that went on since 1993, and there's been a lot that's gone on with this franchise, the fact is without two people, there's two people in the world responsible for baseball in South Florida, and that's it. And it's Wayne Huizenga and Jeffrey Luria.
Oh, man, it's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day having those two idiots out. Stepson and father. Goodbye. Don't come back. If you would, could you please move from South Florida and never come back? As that was David Sampson.
I guess John Henry was never here. You just
Let me ask you a question. I guess he kind of threw that out. And you know, David Sampson's not a dumb guy. Like, I understand he's well-educated and everything. That was one of the dumbest comments that I've ever heard. Seriously. Like, we're going to have baseball here no matter what. This baseball team was never going to move.
And
they weren't going. Where were they going to go? They're going to go over to San Antonio?
Yeah, San Antonio.
Yeah, come on.
San Antonio Marlins.
Yeah, that was going to happen.
San Antonio Gauchos.
Yeah. For double A.
The people we have to thank, and we'll get to this in the 9 o'clock hour, are the people of Miami and the Miami politicians who let them wind up ultimately with that stadium. That's why baseball is still here. I think, Joe, it's safe to say, you know what, it's kind of interesting. We forget about this, but with all the wonderful work redone at Hard Rock and what that place looks like now as more of a football stadium than ever, they weren't going to stay in that stadium. That was undoable. Stephen Ross at some point was going to say the future here is the soccer games he's been bringing in, like El Clasico, the summer version they had, and the Dolphins game. So that wasn't even going to be a possible venue. It's the stadium and how that got built that had more to do with anything for the fact that the Marlins are still in town.
Yeah, I hear him say, like, all of a sudden, we're going to put a spin at Jeffrey Lurie as some great man, even though he's been voted the worst owner in professional sports.
From baseball, from people inside baseball, like, and just stealing the revenue sharing and making your money off of that instead of a quality product even after getting the stadium.
Yeah. And that big thank you he did to the fans, that was really nice. I'm sure that meant a lot when they said that. Thank you. Thank you for what? Like, that's just unbelievable. Anyway, we're moving ahead.
Are we?
They got their $1.2 billion.
But are we moving ahead? In other words, when you say moving ahead,
we're getting a fresh start.
You're saying that are you moving forward as a franchise? Or are we going to get this today, later? Are we going to get the quote-unquote, Joe, franchise reset? We have to sit down. We have to reset the finances. We have to stabilize this thing before we move forward. You're going to see in the playoffs this week, we know that the Nationals, with their pitching staff, Joe, they aren't going anywhere. The rest of that division is wide open with Atlanta and Philadelphia and New York. You're always going to have a wild card shot there anyway. You're going to have a chance to at least play again for second place in the East. But what's going to happen? I mean, when those three outfielders got together, I don't know if you had a chance to see the picture of that on Sunday, and they embraced at center field, Yelich and Ozuna and Stanton could have embraced anywhere. They could have embraced in the locker room. They could have embraced in the players' lounge. That was a statement also of keep us together. We are, if not the best, one of the best outfields in the major leagues. Will those three be out there come opening day next season, Joe?
I don't think so. I don't think it's going to happen because finance is going to come into play. I think today when Bruce Sherman and Derek Jeter have their press conference at 11 a.m., I think they better have a game plan together. I'm guessing they've had time. They've known now for a while they're going to own this team. So they're looking at this thing, and they got to build up their minor league system. Anybody that follows baseball understands we've got to have a minor league system.
Forever. They have nothing. They have no prospects.
It's got to be built up.
We saw the season with the pitchers they had to bring up, you know, when they lost Chen and when they lost Volquez, and they just had nothing to replace, and you're relying on Adam Conley again. Let me ask you this, Joe, because you know how this works. You've been part of it on the inside. You've been part of it when you were at NBC6. Everyone pre-scripts their answers. You know, in a press conference, you've been brief. Derek's been brief. Sherman's been brief. So this question comes up, and they have a pre-scripted answer. Question. First question from wherever it is. Clark Spencer, Tim Healy. What are your plans going forward?
Ira's naming the guys are going to get Joe. Is what? Joe going to be in? Joe Fasol? Poor Joe's going to be lost now that he didn't have that ass to kiss.
Now that I get that in there. But okay,
Lori,
so one of those guys is going to ask this question, Joe, okay? What are your plans going forward with Giancarlo Stanton? So you can play that role. You've been briefed. Joe, how do you think they answer that question?
I think they're going to praise him for the year he's had. They'll do that. They'll build him up.
Sure.
And then they're going to say, hey, we got to look at all avenue. We'll see what's out there. We got a minor league system. They probably tease you a little bit. We'd like to keep him.
Or do you just flat out lie and going, of course, he's not going anywhere. He's the heart of the franchise. And then sort of move it to a back burner issue. Maybe after you get a few more concessions from Mayor Jimenez and some of your friends down here.
If you want to keep that payroll at 50, 60, 70 in there, you can't keep him. How are you going to keep him? I mean, I can just do the math. That's 25 right off the top and growing. How are you going to keep him?
And I don't disagree with that, but I also know that's the worst way to come in. And what, Joe? Why does
he's by far your? I feel bad for him. If I was Giancarlo Stanton, I think I'd ask those guys, like, look, if you're not going to spend money on this thing, just you can let me go. I'll sign off on here.
He's not giving up money. He's not giving up money.
No, sign off is in. Get me out of here. I'll get rid of my no
and
trade clause and let's
who's
go.
Who's taking that contract outside of the Dodgers? Unless you have to
San Francisco Giants would take it in a heartbeat.
You think so? Without asking for Real Muto or someone
those
else to sweeten the deal?
Call me all the time out there. they would take, I was told they would take anybody in that outfield. Any one of those three is going to be an upgrade.
Well, Yelich has the great contract. That's the contract you want. That's the bargain contract. And Ozuna, is this just one of the sort of up and down cycle you're going to ride with him in the first place? So I don't know what his overall value would be, but I just don't know if Stan...
He just had an unbelievable year.
He did. This is the upcycle for a player who a year ago was in the minors, of course, to save on his option year, but that's another story, to keep him away from free agency arbitration.
Yeah, but he was an all-star before he had the crappy second half of the season. But, yeah, Ozuna's got great value right now, great value. All three of those outfielders, you got to pick Stanton's making a lot more. But Ozuna keeps
the top five of that lineup you could bring back with Realmuto and with Justin and Bohr and what he did this season. That's a top five right there. You're set and good to go. Throw me in a couple of pitchers. You're right back at least at worst in the wild card race with the Colorado.
I don't know about all that. That pitching's got I disagree.
Decent back end pitching. Obviously, they need a top two. But that's that's injuries. Like Volquez, when he came around, Joe, after that, I think it was an 0-8 start, he was pitching very well. Chen has been a bust from the get-go because of the injuries, and you sort of knew that coming in. Two injured guys
that you can't count on right there. Just can't. They've got dead money that those guys, they can't count on those guys. Those two got to get cleaned up.
That's your payroll.
They got to get some. I think they're going to clean it up, but it would be really refreshing, even if I don't like what they have to say today. It would be refreshing for them to have their game plan and share it with everybody and tell them, what the thing is. But they got a tough one because they got a chance today to screw this up and piss a lot of people off and go, well, I'm not coming back.
But they won't do that today. Today is all about balloons and lollipops and roses and everything that you want to see and all the good stuff. Because all South Florida wants to do is exhale after what we've been through with the previous ownership group. Right, Joe? Everyone wants to take a deep breath and just sort of breathe it all in. And even if Jeter got this unbelievable deal where for the grand total price of nothing, he's taking over a major league team, you still want to hope. At least give yourself time right now to say this has got to be better. It's got to be more enjoyable.
This Jeter love affair, if this is bad for a while, is going to come. Nobody's going to care about his Yankee career and his 3,000 hits. If it's bad and people are looking at a bad product and it's bad for a while and they're not spending money, fans, the hall pass and the love affair of Derek Jeter, who's one of the most popular baseball players of all time, Yankee or no Yankee, the way he played, everything else, but in his class and the fact that in his image is spotless, it'll come to a halt real quickly.
Yeah, but because of who is you playing, who he's replacing, he's going to get the grace period. Joe, you know what this is, and you've been here long enough to remember this also. Going from David Sampson to Derek Jeter is like going from Louis Chiffel to Pat Riley. There's just such a sort of breathing in.
That's pretty good, Ira. Jeez, you must have thought about Chiffel as an idiot, too.
But I'm just saying is, think about that shift of the two guys there. What you did, you went from Chiffel to Riley. You're going from Sampson to Jeter. How can you not embrace that? If you're a fan of the sport, they're going to get.
I think it's good today.
There's going to be a grace period. Now, your question is, how long is the grace period? Is it a week? Is it a month? Is it 5 months? Is it till spring training? Is it the first year?
Some time. Everybody should know. If you're a Marlins fan and you watch this and you don't know how screwed up it is about all these issues, plus another 9 hours of issues to talk about, starting with a minor league system that's really bad.
I know where you're starting. You're starting with, I think, after football season, starting every Monday, you're going to be hosting the Mike Hill Show. Is that correct?
Do you understand why he gets a hall pass?
I don't understand why you would carry over anything. I can understand like a president.
How does Mike Hill show up today and be part of it with a smile?
I can understand a transition team.
He's a nice guy?
I can understand like in politics, you have your transition team.
Mike Hill's a good guy. So if you're a good guy around here, they do good guys in your business?
They do good guys in figurehead positions in my business, and you can do that. But why would you have to do that? Why would you want to do that?
Everybody around Mike Hill gets fired. They have for years, except Mike Hill.
Right, but everyone who's been fun gets fired. Who cares if Jack McKean is getting an honorarium or Jeff Conine or someone like that? At least they were the optimistic faces of the franchise.
Yeah. Listen, man, I like Mike Hill. I think Mike Hill's a good guy, just like everybody else, because that's how everybody starts when talking about Mike. Always stops and talks and introduces you to his family, and like you go, wow, that's real. man, Mike goes the extra mile and stop and talks to you and makes you feel good at a high position. You're going, wow, usually guys, you know, that high a position aren't that nice and take time for everybody. But at some point, I think, like, he's kind of in charge of all that stuff, and it's really bad.
Clean break.
Let me ask you, their PR guy, what's the idiot that what's that guy's name?
Matt Roebuck.
Does he make it? Is he staying right? He should go, too. Like, his ass needs to go.
Well, you know who
he's awful.
You know who I think is in the most jeopardy is Dave Van Horn. I mean, he was a Loria guy from Montreal coming in also.
Any smell of those guys got to go.
You know, if you really want to win this press conference today, Jeter's put his wife up there on the podium, too.
That's great. That's great. We're running super late. I can see this is going to be a real crap show today.
Thank you, Joe. Glad. Always a pleasure to come in.
It's an easy way to win the press conference, though, right? Just look at her.
Oh, this show. Oh, God.
Put her up there in her Sports Illustrated swimsuit.
I need to apologize before this thing even gets going today. We got a lot of stuff to get to. You guys are unbelievable. I've screwed up this format by about 20 minutes already.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Hey, welcome back, and good morning, everybody. Ira Winderman in for Zach Krantz, who's on a little vacation before the baby and all the other things, getting ready to change Zach's life here coming up.
You haven't ripped him yet for that, by the way.
What, for having a kid?
Well, that'll come later. But the whole
you're angry mood. About the way I have. Apparently, you're really angry.
No, you're
about the way like I picked on you every day.
Yeah, well, you're not a good corporate guy. Like, you're not a good corporate soldier. But I'm surprised you haven't ripped him for taking a baby moon.
He thinks.
Take your paternity month if you can.
Ira.
I didn't know there was such a thing.
You know, these someone guys came up to me at Shuckers. I was at Shuckers over the weekend for the post-game show, and someone came up to me, like, they listened to the show, and the guy was like, you didn't really do that, did you? And I said, yeah, I took the month off, but someone actually came up to me. They heard that part of the show. Well, you were giving me a hard time for taking my company-approved leave.
Well, I guess at CBS here, you can take up to 6 weeks.
There's another guy.
Guys, not the wife.
No, there's another guy in my business whose wife's about to have a kid who's taking a month off, sports writer, and just taking a month off with pay. It's like, it's a different world out there, Joe. Joe, you would have like had a full year off if you added them all up.
Yeah, I would have had a long time off, but hey. I'm
different
old.
Times. Well, different
gets
times.
Leave every year. It's called the off season.
No, tell me about that when you look at July and see whose name is not in the paper every single day. All I know is this was my paternity leave, and it's still a funny story of my wife. My hours, of course, are crazy, but I would come home from Heat games. I would get to the house about 1 a.m. She would be standing in the driveway with a crying kid, literally hand Jake to me and going, I'm going to bed. That's it. So I've just covered a game for 8 hours. I'm sitting there with Jake watching the 2 a.m., 3 a.m., and 4 a.m. Sports Center where they used to have it there, trying to get the little whatever bad word you want to use to bed. That was my paternity break. Yeah. Heat games, come home. Literally, Sherry would be standing in the driveway and saying, "He's all yours. I'm going to bed."
Yeah,
paternity month.
It was a different time, and you kind of took off when you could. I don't know. I'm sure guys our age took off maybe a few days, but there was nobody taking off a month or 6 weeks. Or now these guys downstairs, they divide it up. So they take like 4 weeks now when the baby comes and they're home. And then they go, well, I got two more. I'll just take them a couple of months in where we can drop the baby off with the in-laws. And
get a mental health
we'll
break.
Shoot and we'll take off. And I'm like, wow, that's a hell of a deal. Welcome to the new deal that's out there.
But you shouldn't rip the person. You should rip, you know, the people that are making the policy. Because if someone
dangles
6 weeks paid in front of you, like –
I don't care if you do it.
No, I personally think people are now having the kids just for the time off.
No,
I think it's it's like, hun, let's create a vacation tonight. Yeah,
I don't think so. That's a long term investment.
I was working the phones with the wife in the delivery room, so I can't say anything. The day that my wife delivered, on July 12th back in 96. That's when the Juwan Howard thing was going on. And I was literally on the phone with David Falk's office, true story, trying to see if the Heat was going to get Juwan Howard or not. Jewish religion, the first letter of a name is named after someone recently deceased in the family. So my maternal grandfather, Joseph, we were named Jay for a J name. I came so close to right now at the University of Florida, Juwan Winderman up there, before that thing fell apart at the last minute and we wound up with Jake instead. But wow, that's a true story. Two things my wife still talks to me about. My late backup writer, Robes Pat, and she goes, I can't believe you were on the phone with Robes while I was in there eating ice chips trying to get through this. And this is a true story. I remember it. We were in Plantation General Hospital. The Mets were in a great extra inning game with the Braves. And I literally told my wife goes, where are you? I'm going there in the 10th inning. It's still scoreless. That's how the whole thing started.
No, that's
and
not...
I'm still married somehow.
Yeah, no, you made it after all those years and stuff. But listen, Hollywood, you got to get over, man. I don't care. Like, you and your wife can take it. You got to come and take it. I get it.
Well, no, it's just you couldn't say Zach was on vacation. You had to take a shot at him because he's on his baby moon.
Well, that's what he was doing. So I was just sharing it. It's nothing bad. Took a week off, and he'll be back. And so Ira's in for him, and we're ready to go. He took his a shot. He still messed up. He took a month off, and I took a couple of jabs at him.
The guilt showing through here.
Well, he didn't know about the baby moon situation, right? I had to take my wife for a weekend. We went away. Zach is taking a whole week, which seems to me excessive for a baby moon, but it's okay.
I don't care. Hey, whatever CBS allows you to do, man, go for it.
And I'm the one who told my wife for the last 30 years, it's basketball season. There is no time off. There's no vacation. She's still pushing for, after my son graduates, we should go for Europe and have the final family blow-up vacation. This is true. And I go to her and I go, but it's the playoffs. And the look, Joe, that I got back, and I know you've gotten plenty from the various Mrs. Roses over the years, the look that I got back was like, you got to be kidding. And every guy I speak to in the team, well, you can't go away for the playoffs. No one goes away for the playoffs.
No.
So I told my wife, I said, okay, look, I know you work at school. You start early. We'll go in early August. We'll take care of it then. It's got to be after free agency, to which I got the look. Free agency is more important than a family vacation. And I think you guys will all agree, free agency is big in the NBA. Well, you got to be around for that also.
The rules have changed in the NBA. It's the NBA last year was more like the NFL than ever
12
before.
12-month season. 12-month
guys
season.
Doing
yeah.
Not even opting out. Now just going, I'm under contract, but I don't want to play here anymore. I don't want to be the two. We got all kinds of new things going on in all the sports right now, including Russell Westbrook. That was an absolute shocker. I went, wow, he signed it. He signed that 5-year contract with OKC, and I thought for sure, you know, everybody's always already looking ahead to where he's going to end up.
Wind up, play with
LeBron. Played at UCLA, wants to go to LA. They've already all talked. And
replace Chris Paul, go to the Clippers. And so every assumption we've had, Joe, about where everyone's winding up, what if it works out well in OKC with Carmelo? Carmelo has one more year left in his contract, a $29 million player option. He might be better off opting in now than first going out and taking a chance on that, depending on his season right now. Where does Paul George go? And it all plays into LeBron. If no one's going to L.A. with him, and that L.A. team, they started their preseason yesterday, is just Lonzo Ball and that's it, is LeBron is quick to move also. So this dynamic of we all know what's going to happen. No one knows what's going to happen. No one knew that Kyrie Irving would be traded this offseason. The NBA stuff just sort of happens.
I can't wait to see. You know, we've been talking. We'll come back and talk about this stuff. But I'm really curious to see what LeBron's team looks like. He's got some pretty good pieces, especially if Isaiah comes back in January. I'm curious to see what it's going to look like.
Yeah, he has a good 2008 team with Derrick Rose and Dwayne Wade. Yeah.
We'll talk about all that coming up in a 7 o'clock hour. We got more to get to. What do you got for us, Hollywood?
All right, Joe, a couple of things here. First, it's Florida State Week, and you can hear Coach Richt and his players on a special edition of the Williams and Cadillac Buick GMC Hurricane Hotline tonight from 6 to 8 on the home of the UWQAM. And you can also join Alex Dono tonight at 8 and tomorrow night at 6 for our 2017 Panther Prowls. Dono will be joined by coaches, players, and other special guests to preview the Panther season that opens up on Friday. The radio home of the Panthers is Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
This podcast was presented by David Lowe & Associates in Fort Lauderdale. If you've had a homeowner's insurance claim denied or underpaid, call 844-96-CLAIM.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect
your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.